Just to start with Anzac Day for a second, which is not a Jewish holiday, but nevertheless, we're Australians, and it's definitely a day of remembrance. I must say, I actually noticed this more this year than any other year, that Anzac Day is a day where a lot of stores are closed, like the big stores, like Coles, for example, and all these places. But I did notice driving down the street that a lot of the little shops were open, and not only food places, even other places. And I don't actually, I mean, again, I don't know everyone's situation and I don't want to judge anyone. Maybe somebody, you know, these people need that money of being open one day. But it's just interesting.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, everyone, welcome back to another JP episode. We took a bit of a break for Pesach, just as well, because I think myself and Rabbi Levy had a very interesting Pesach. Me in Sydney, him in Melbourne.
We're quite unwell.
Yes, I got hit with a...
with the flu and other things.
Real, real strong flu.
Yeah.
Started the Junior Gerari household.
Yeah.
Both parents and some of the children. But the show went on. We had Pesach, we had a Seder, we ate the matzah, we drank the four cups of wine, we told the story. You got to do what you got to do. But we were pretty knocked out, so it was good timing. Oh, in a way. I mean, bad timing, but good timing. It's all God's timing, so it doesn't make a difference. That wasn't at a time where we normally do videos or podcasts or shiurim. Otherwise, Melbourne was good, Rabbi, besides, you know.
Melbourne was good. It was actually very good. Yeah, it was a good Yom Tov.
Yeah, for me too. Towards the end, we felt much better, and we ended off with a bang.
That's right.
Now we're ready to go. I'm actually off to Israel next week.
That's right.
We're going on a rabbinical council mission. You staying here, I know, but I'm going, joining a bunch of rabbis. And my plan is to record and something with you from Israel next week. So let's hope.
You know who you're going to meet there, what stories you're going to have.
Yeah, we're going to try and do that. I'm actually getting quite excited.
Yeah. When was the last time you were in Israel? It was quite a while ago.
5 years ago, just before COVID. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go the last year and a half. And that's another reason why I'm excited is not, but I really want to be there. I've been wanting to be there for a long time now, since October the 7th, obviously. That was just before COVID. Funny enough, actually, I was just thinking about it yesterday. That's the last time I got a really, really bad flu. It was the end of my trip to Israel.
Well, it's a good thing you got it this time before you went.
And this time I got it before I traveled, so it should be fine. Please God.
There's important things to discuss here, actually. So over the past few days and over the next few days, there's a lot to do with remembering bad things or negative things, both with, for example, Anzac Day, which is an Australian day. It's not a Jewish day per se, but it's an Australian national day.
It actually works, you know that. But I mean, that's just
Sorry?
They actually were quite a few Jews there as well.
Oh, yeah, enough, sure.
But
Australian soldiers
who
died in duty. Then, of course, remembering the Holocaust. You were just at an event last night.
Yeah.
All about that. And then in 2 days, on Tuesday night, is Yom HaZikaron, where we remember the soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, who died defending our land, the land of Israel. And of course, I mean, that number has unfortunately gotten a lot more over the past year and a half, since October 7th, tragically. So these are important days of remembering things. So I want to discuss the general idea of remembering in Judaism. What place does that have? And we do remember a lot, actually. I mean, in fact, you remember good things, you remember bad things. We have a day called Tisha B'Av. We remember the destruction of the temple. We have Pesach, which is about remembering the Exodus of Egypt. And in fact, actually, part of remembering the Exodus of Egypt, just thinking now, is not only remembering the good things, it's also remembering the bad things, the slavery and everything that we had to go through in order to get to the Exodus of Egypt. So this theme definitely is a reoccurring theme in Judaism, I would say.
Yes, I think I was thinking about it because it is like this year just sort of seems to be closer together, and it's a lot about remembering. So I was thinking about what is the Torah, what does Jewish thought say on the concept of remembering, right? So I was thinking about, like you said, there's lots of things you remember, but in the Torah itself, there are three specific times where we are commanded zachor, to remember, right? Which really tells us that remembering in Jewish thought is a very important thing. It's critical. We don't live in isolation, number one. We live in context. We live as part of a chain. We live coming in continuation of what came before us, like you say, the good things, the bad things, whatever the case is. But it is, you know, we have to learn from the past. We have to, you know, remember the past. And it's obviously a very, very important thing, right? So that's, I think, a foundational issue. And that's why I think when things happen after the Torah was written, so to speak, like the remembering, the things they're remembering this week, whether it's the Anzacs, whether it's Yomash, you know, with the Shah and so on, it's and of course the soldiers, the Chayrim of the IDF of Tzahal, it's so important. We cannot not remember. Elie Wiesel talks a lot about this in some of his writings about the importance of remembering, right, in terms of the Shah and so on, remembering that other people shouldn't forget, all these kind of things. But I wanted to share an idea. I think what's very interesting to me is the following. I think there's two types of remembering. And if you look at the Torah, I'll just go through it briefly. There's actually three, as I said, there's three kinds of remembering, right? There's remembering, first of all, Zachor. We are commanded to remember Amalek, the war of Amalek, what they did to us when we came out of Egypt. They attacked us. The whole world was scared of us. And yet they sort of cooled, you know, they weakened us by sort of showing that they could attack us and so on. Then there's the Zachor of Shabbat. The mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night actually comes from the verse in the Torah, Zachor at Yom HaShabbat, to remember Shabbat. So we're supposed to remember the Shabbat when it comes. And then there's Zachor to remember. It uses the word Zachor, actually, to remember the Exodus from Egypt. And, you know, that's connected with Pesach. What's fascinating is when we remember all these three things, and again, remembering is critical, it's always connected with action, always connected with doing something. Let me just quickly explain. So we're supposed to remember, formally remember, the Amalek war once a year, right? But the Talmud tells us, when do we do it? We choose the Shabbat just before Purim, because Purim is about Haman. Haman came from Amalek. So therefore the Talmud says what we have to do is we have to connect the remembering to the doing. On Purim, we remember the story of Purim by doing mitzvot. We send mishloach manot, we hear the Megillah, we have a meal. It's a day of doing, right? So we remember the Shabbat before so that the remembering should directly link right away into the doing, right? Friday night, it's the same thing. We remember the Shabbat. What do? We make kiddush as soon as Shabbat arrives, indicating, signaling the arrival of Shabbat, which then develops into the observance of Shabbat, into the whole Shabbat, doing the things that we're supposed to do on Shabbat or not doing the things we're not supposed to do on Shabbat and so on. It's observance, it's ritual, it's action, right? And finally, the remembering of the going out of Egypt. Now, of course, we do this every day, but the special time that we do this is Pesach night. And in fact, the Haggadah tells us specifically that we cannot remember the going out of Egypt unless we are sitting at a table where there's matzah and maror and, of course, four cups of wine by extension. In other words, it's connected to the experience, to the mitzvah, to the doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think what this teaches us, this is what I've always, you know, thought about, and I've just thought about this three times in the Torah lately, that's how it's so clear, that there's two types of remembering. Just to remember, it's so critical, but it's not enough. When you just remember and then you just go back to your regular life, that's just symbolic. It's a nice symbol. You remembered and has its importance and has its benefit, I suppose, and that's it, right? In Judaism, that's what we look at. Every remembering must ignite a sense of urgency to do something. In other words, we remember the past, but then what are we going to do about that past? What are we going to do in a negative sense to make sure it doesn't happen again? What are we going to do in a positive sense with remember the good things about continuing on the good that happened? We came out of Egypt, we became a nation. So then what are we going to do to strengthen that identity as being a Jew, as part of that amazing nation? What are we going to do about strengthening at the chain of Jewishness in general? So I think remembering is so important, but every remembering must come together with action, must come together with a reflection of, okay, so I remember the martyrs, the 6 million martyrs who died because they were Jewish. So what am I going to do now to be more Jewish? Am I going to learn more? Am I going to do another act of kindness to someone else? Am I going to do the mitzvah and become more spiritual? Am I going to strengthen the Jewish chain? Same thing with the people who are fighting to defend the land. Why is the land so important? It's the Jewish land. Why do we need a Jewish land? Because we are Jews. And Jews are connected to the Torah. They're connected to the land of Israel. And again, it all comes back to, we're going to strengthen that Jewish pride. And you strengthen the Jewish pride by identifying more as being Jewish, as doing more Jewish things. And so on.
Yeah, so I want to get into those specific examples actually more depth in a moment. But actually, it's interesting. I just reminded myself that we actually say every day, many people say this every day, there's this concept called Sheish Zechirois.
Yeah.
Actually, to remember six things every day. One of them is an interesting one, just throwing something random here. To remember what God did to Miriam. Miriam was Moshe Rabbeinu's sister. She got leprosy, tsaras, actually connected to this week's Torah portion, because she spoke... not even so negatively, she sort of like spoke with a little bit of scorn, I guess, about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu.
On her level, it was considered.
On her level, yeah. The concept of Lashon Hara. It's interesting that we single out like that incident to remember her every single day. Look, why do you think that's so important? What's the message?
I mean, we know. I mean, the Talmud talks a lot about, you know, the evils and the destructiveness of Lashon Hara. And I think it's the same thing. Like, there are singles that are to remember. I don't think just to remember a story, because there's many stories in the Chumash.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to remember them all. We learn about them all. But why specifically remember? I think it's, again, to remind ourselves and to reflect and to be, when we remember it, hopefully it inspires us to be more careful about how we talk about other people and how we gossip or we don't gossip and
right.
How we treat other people and so on and so forth, right?
So let's just go into some of these days specifically. Obviously, each of these days have their own messages and their own ideas and what we can learn from them. As you say, the idea is not just to remember, it's also to actually apply it. Just let's start with Anzac Day for a second, which is not a Jewish holiday. But nevertheless, we're Australians, and it's definitely a day of remembrance. I must say, I actually noticed this more this year than any other year, that Anzac Day is a day where a lot of stores are closed, like the big stores, like Coles, for example, and all these places. But I did notice driving down the street that a lot of the little shops were open, and not only food places, even other places. And I don't actually, I mean, again, I don't know everyone's situation, and I don't want to judge anyone. Maybe somebody, you know, these people need that money of being open one day. But it's just interesting. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing, actually. I think, although not being specifically related to Judaism, but living in a country, in a free country, there is this concept of being thankful for the freedom that the country provides for us. I know that the Rebbe spoke about this a number of times, about America, how America provided a refuge for the Jewish people and allowed us to practice our religion freely. And I think the same thing definitely can be said about Australia, at least until this present moment, although it is a little bit going downhill. But nevertheless, still, you know, we live in a free country. We're able to practice our religion. And those that died fighting for our freedom, I believe, do deserve a day of remembrance. And it's also interesting, like, it's because it's a day off work, so everyone's just sort of going about their day. And there was, like, this massive party of young people happening, actually, like, near Binna, like, near the whatever. Like, and it was huge. So I was walking to Friday night services. I don't know, like, I guess this, you know, the younger generation maybe doesn't relate to these type of things. Like, what do you think of it? Although it's not necessarily a Jewish issue.
I think it's got a Jewish concept. I think, look, we always respond to everything through Jewish lenses. And I think the concept of gratitude, we know, in Judaism is very strong. And specifically when we are offered a place to live and in what we call a malchut shel chesed, a benevolent sort of country, which has given us religious freedom and has allowed us to practice and learn and daven and do mitzvot and be Jewish openly and so on and so forth. And I think there are people, like you say, that defended this freedom, and they definitely deserve gratitude in some way. I mean, obviously, like, you know, in terms of the stores. Look, I think stores being on, by the way, is an interesting concept. If I could just randomly relate it to something else. I remember when I came to this country, actually, you know, everything closed at 5 o'clock and you couldn't get anything on Sundays. It was very... And selfishly, I have to say, you know, I was quite happy when things started to open, stay open later, and Sunday became, you know, because, you know, it's convenient, but it's not good for society. That's the truth, because family structure, people less spend less family time, and so on and so on. But specifically a day like that, I think you're right. I think it's, you know, I mean, look, everything's different. I mean, there's some of the Jewish bakeries, of course, were open. People have to get their challahs on Friday. There's no choice. But I think there is something about recognizing it and marking it in some way and showing gratitude in some way.
Mm.
I think that's merits.
Moving on to remembering the Holocaust specifically, I mean, I guess there's two questions here. First of all, the Jewish people have suffered since we've become the Jewish people. I mean, that's just, you know, the Holocaust obviously took it to a new proportion. Why do you think the Holocaust specifically invokes this type of remembrance? Is it just because of the scale of it? Is it because, that's sort of an obvious question, but like, what do you think?
I think so. I mean, the atrocities, the systematic, intentional plan to actually wipe out the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
And also it's very recent. And
right.
We see now, just, you know, notwithstanding what I said before, that every remembering has spring to action, but just remembering itself, we see now the importance of it, because it's just 80 years this year, 80 years since liberation, and there's people denying it already. There's still Holocaust survivors around. Not they're less.
Right.
There are people that witnessed this, and yet there are people to deny it. It's like unbelievable. I mean, people have short memories, and it's important that we remind the world that this is just not acceptable. And that's on a society level, but, you know, and then there's our own thing. I mean, there's just so many. I mean, no one alive today doesn't have some family that were affected.
Right.
You know, I grew up in South Africa. We didn't have Holocaust survivors, and by and large, the community in South Africa came before the war, right? So, and it's a very different community because of that. But at the same time, that's not true. Everyone I know, including myself, I mean, my own great-grandfather was, my grandfather came out, and he came out, my grandparents came out to South Africa before the war, but my grandfather's father was stuck back in Europe, and he was killed by the Nazis, right? And so were many, many members of my family. So there's it's so personal, I think. It's so personal and so fresh still.
Yeah.
And so important.
Yeah.
To remember.
What do you think the message is? You said every remembrance has to bring, only for the sake of remembering. I mean,
what? So I think it's very, I think, yes, what I said before, that at the end of the day, it's one of the, you know, it's one of the, look, nowadays, I mean, you know, October 7th was also people dying because they were Jewish.
Yeah.
And that's why we sort of, there's been the comparisons, you know, we say since the Holocaust, something like that never happened. And pogroms like that. I mean, you know, there were other things that were sort of dressed up in other motives and things like that, right? Which is not really true, but nevertheless, the Holocaust was somewhere where a person was killed just for one reason, that they were Jewish. Died because they were Jewish.
Yeah.
I think the lesson is we just got to remember that we are an eternal nation. People will never destroy us. They can injure us, unfortunately, as they did badly in the Holocaust as a nation. But we are an eternal nation. God has given us that promise. We see miraculously that we're still here, and we need to think about how do we strengthen that eternity? How do we strengthen that identity?
Yeah. And then finally, moving on to Yom HaZikaron, remembering the Israeli soldiers and the IDF, how do you think we can best honor them? And what message should we take from them? I mean, these are just, I mean, we think about it, and it is important to think about it. Talking about 18-year-old boys and girls, 20-year-olds, I mean, literally people younger than me, like kids, basically, who just gave up their whole life for what? For us to be able to live in Israel, to be able to be Jewish?
So I think it's about remembering that, you know, we are, first of all, it's about joining the fight. That's number one, joining the fight.
Yeah.
That we, remembering that in Jewish, a foundational Jewish concept is that we can join the fight. Not only just remember those who have fallen, but also think about the people who are still fighting and join the fight. What does that mean? It means, of course, like we've spoken about before, that we believe that, of course, an army is critical and strategizing is critical. But we know that spiritual component of the army is very, very important. And that part we can do. We can pray for them. We can do another mitzvah for them. We can do things. We can spiritually do things, right? And we can increase our confidence and our pride, right? That's number one. But I had a thought this morning, maybe I'll just share it with you. Because I was thinking about it, and we know that everything that happens in the physical world also happens in the spiritual world, right? One of the things that's inspired me over the last, since October the 7th, is watching these videos out of Israel, watching the Chayalim, right? Watching the soldiers. And I always said they have a few things that must contribute to the effort and the effectiveness and how they fight and ultimately the victory. And number one, they're full of conviction, right? They're just full of conviction. They know what they're fighting for. They believe in it, right?
Yeah.
The second thing is hope. It's unbelievable. Like they, you know, we've been beaten down, and in this war, there's been a lot of casualties, and yet they still go. If you see the videos, the way they talk and their faith, It's like unbelievable the faith and the emunah, the awakening and the inspiration for them to engage in Jewishness as much. Again, I just watched this morning a video of a soldier that's spent his first Shabbat in the army. And he describes how amazing it was, how they tried to do everything they could to make the Shabbat happen. And just, you know, the soldiers putting on tefillin and sitzit. I mean, just it's incredible what's been going on. But just their positivity and their hope, and it's going to be good and we're going to overcome. And still, they're still saying this. They're still doing it, right? Which gives them an amazing, the third thing, it gives them amazing confidence. And then they have this incredible happiness about them. I don't know, you see soldiers dancing when you see them singing songs of Shabbat. The Shabbat is coming, even if they're sitting in a tank. You see a Sefer Torah being dedicated in Gaza and they're dancing, and it's unbelievable, right? And I was thinking the following. We know that we all have our own wars as well. I'm thinking that maybe Yom HaZikaron is a time also to learn from the soldiers, right? That we all have our own struggles, you know, inner struggles. We know we have two souls, the godly soul and the animal soul. We have two forces within us. And sometimes, you know, we are driven by temptation to be overindulgent, to be angry, to have bad relationships, to treat other people badly, to not grow, to not become spiritual. And we're pulled in different directions. And sometimes it looks very, very overwhelming. And sometimes we just think, you know, it didn't work yesterday and I got angry yesterday and I didn't work last week. And we kind of want to give up, right?
Mm.
But we have to believe that's not true. We can fight this war and we can overcome. We can fight our own spiritual war. And the only way we do it is by learning from these soldiers, by doing the same four things. We've got to have values. We've got to have conviction. We've got to learn about why it's important not to get angry. We've got to learn the importance of doing a mitzvah. We've got to learn, right? We've got to really have conviction. And we've got to be really always full of hope, even if we fail, even if there's a casualty, God forbid. We've got to know we can get up and we can try again. And we've got to be confident that we can really do it. And also we know that joy, simcha, brings victory. When a person is down and feels guilty and sad and depressed and so on, very hard to grow. Growth can only come with happiness, with joy, with simcha. So this is my thoughts today about learning from them, learning from the soldiers.
Beautiful. So God should help. We should only have to remember good things. But unfortunately, we have some bad things in our history that we have to pause and reflect and remember and take heart and take lesson that we should change and we should become better.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good. See you next week, everyone.